Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
It's hour number two of the program, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home, and a simple way to get it, Rocket Cash. 1-800-636-8686. I read the phone number for a variety of reasons. A, I'm a radio guy. Formatics. Gotta play the hits. Secondly, I would like you to be a part of the program. We had a good run of tweets in the first hour of the show. We're going to duplicate that blueprint in the second hour. Your interaction coming up in 20 minutes. And I will take the time, if the calls are good, to hit the phone lines at 1-800-636-8686 in 40 minutes, because I'm not doing 3 hours of NBA talk. We're not on satellite radio yet as a solo performer. Is this the week that Baker Mayfield finally gets traded or just cut, or there's some resolution to the soap opera in Cleveland? That's coming up in 20 minutes, in addition to your tweets and phone calls. Just a smidge of baseball. Don't look now. Your Cincinnati Reds won 2 of 3 from the Buccos. Now, the question is, why did I pay attention to any of that? The answer is, I have no life. But whatever lame, meme-driven thought you want to come up with the dumpster on fire going down to the confluence in Pittsburgh, when you have the Pirates and you have the Reds getting together, anything can happen. I don't care about the details of that at all, other than the Cincinnati Reds are going to be worse than the 1962 Mets. But there are larger points about systemic issues that baseball has ignored for decades. We'll get into that in 20 minutes. If you're watching on television, enjoy this hour, because we're going to go away at the top of the hour for the excitement of soccer. Should I send my audition tape to the folks in New York? I might be able to yell off a set piece as it goes to the far post. You won't hear any of that, though, because we now have a change in the role of technical producer. So if you're watching on television, there's a glare coming through the glass. Garrett Ritz is flying the plane, meaning I'm probably not on the air. I know I'm on television because we have a phenomenal crew based in New York City, the best in the business. This mic is probably not on. It's a good thing I'm clutching it like it's rented. And then there's one other challenge, because Ritz used to be my producer, one of many incarnations of Brian Weber shows that have been canceled over the years. In fact, it was so bad, I drove the network into bankruptcy. When Ritt was my producer and he was in my line of sight, I would bring in a newspaper and tape up my side of the glass so I didn't have to look at crazy eyes. And we can say that because that's Bobby Portis's moniker, right? I understand, right? The world has changed, especially here in the jungle. Personal appearance is not show fodder. But my man's got some Manson lamps, and I got issues with talking and making eye contact. Just look at the board, pal. Just make sure we don't fly right into the Himalayas. So because I'm so performance-driven and neurotic,
bring it on.
If I'm enunciating even more in this hour of the program, blame Garrett Ritt. Clearly, it is a mail-in Monday. Jim is not here. Ask me where he is. And Tom, stop flashing that Ivy League education. When I ask respectfully, do not hand me tweets about Jim Rome's whereabouts, and then you just disregard the instructions. Well, I probably wasn't on the air. Ritt had me potted down as well. I don't know where Alvin went. This is Rome again. Oh, Alvin's back, thankfully, as order has been restored. Let's make the move to the NBA with one more thought that you can chime in about on social media. I'll play along because I'm not going to join you internet detectives trying to figure out where Jim is. No, he's not on the Harley enjoying a 3-day weekend as Tan Smack. Those babes are not walking through that door, metaphorically. But how about this? Since I mentioned, and I have to look at Rit now, I just have to look over here. Simulcast will adjust to my good side. Garrett Rit once produced the Brian Weber Show. If this was the Brian Weber Show, A, it would never be on national television. We know that. Play along. It's theater of the mind. If I had to take a day off, if Brian Weber missed an episode of the Brian Weber Show, where would I be? What would I be doing? What business would I be attending to? Tom, I will read those tweets, which I know you will ignore me moving forward. Let's talk about the particulars of a moment that might have changed the rest of the series between Memphis and Golden State, as we just discussed with Eric Pincus from Bleacher Report, wrapping up an outstanding first hour of the program. Now, I threw out the idea it might have ... Even with a fully healthy Ja Morant, officially doubtful. I don't think he's going to play, but we're awaiting confirmation. I don't think even the explosive, dynamic skills of Ja would be enough for Memphis to get past Golden State for a myriad of reasons I'm going to lay out in detail. Because Golden State looks back, especially at home, and it's not just the big three anymore. If you're paying attention, you know how well Jordan Poole played this year. And finally, Andrew Wiggins is looking like, it's right there in front of you, finally. Andrew Wiggins is looking like the player that was deserving, of being the number one overall pick. He was an all-star this year. Warriors couldn't miss on Saturday night. It felt like they were across the bay at the old Coliseum Arena. But since it is the most discussed play of the last 48 hours, I don't think it was a dirty play. I think that it was a strange play. I don't know what was the rationale, if there was one, because we can't get inside the mind of Jordan Poole. It was weird to watch, but I think he was reaching for the ball, and I know now we're going to go old school. Hey, Piazza and Roger Clemens, you know the difference between a bat and a ball. I realize if you're feeling around, you can get different texture between a basketball and a knee, but it happened so quickly. I don't think this was going after the best player to take him out and change the outlook of the series moving forward. I just think it was a weird play. Now, since we're talking about codes, right? This whole series has become breaking the code. If we're looking at what was undeniably a dirty play, it was what happened to Gary Payton. I'm not saying second or junior. Let's call him Gary Payton. When you walk away with the broken elbow based on the way that Dylan Brooks came in from behind, that was a dirty play worthy of the suspension. But the fact that the NBA has done nothing to Jordan Poole tells me that it's one of two things. As I said, how do you officiate intent? You can't know what Poole was trying to do. And then secondly, I think it was ambiguous enough that it falls in that gray area and it did not warrant any discipline from the league. But overall, we knew coming into this series that the biggest issue that Memphis was going to face was the depth of the Warriors. And I realized that Memphis is not just the Ja Show. As we were discussing with Eric Pincus from Bleacher Report, one of the knocks, if you want to find one on John, I think he's electrifying. And if you love college basketball, you knew what he did when he was a Murray State Racer. The numbers were off the hook, as we said, in 1992. He reminds me of a blend of Iverson with some Derrick Rose, but maybe he's just the first Ja Morant, and we should stop coming up with the old school comps. And if he was 2 or 3 inches taller, if he was 6'6", he'd be unstoppable. He'd be the face of the NBA with the explosive leaping ability, the range that is comparable to Trae Young, not Steph Curry, but there's only one Steph Curry. Although everybody now can knock down a three from 40 feet out. That's what's changed not only the dynamics of every game in the NBA, because I know it's a bromide. And as Brian Weber in for Jim Rome, I should be better than lame cliches. Your phone call's coming up in 10 minutes at 1-800-636-8686, talking Baker Mayfield in 30 minutes. But given that every team is so three-centric, you can make up a 20-point deficit in no time. But I think that was the challenge I had for Memphis coming into the series, trying to figure out a path to victory, even though they had home court advantage until the Warriors stole it early in the series. This team is so three-dependent. If they aren't on the top of their game, what happens? They're suddenly down by that 15-20-point margin. It got even worse on Saturday because the Warriors were locked in. So that's the challenge, I think, for Memphis moving forward. How do you become, and it's part of the learning curve we know in the NBA, I realize it's an entirely different league filled with unicorns, but history says it's a process. Lose early, take another step, lose in the conference finals, finally break three. As this Memphis team continues to grow, and there's a lot to like, you need a more reliable second scoring option beyond Ja, who's going to get his 30 or 40 if need be. And you know what Jaren Jackson's going to do in the paint, best shot blocker statistically in the NBA. But I thought their challenge was going to be, how do you match the depth of the Warriors? And that really has been the key component for Golden State, because Klay Thompson looks like Klay again. Although, if you remember, last handful of games, and they weren't that meaningful for Golden State in the regular season, Klay, after all the injuries, seemed to find his legs and was knocking down the shots like the vintage Splash Brother days, and when he saved them single-handedly against Oklahoma City years ago in the postseason. And the emergence of Wiggins. And Poole, to me, is just a refreshing story, because I like to see people who work hard, as best we can tell. We're just learning these thoughts through the media. But you'll recall that Poole spent some time briefly down in the G League, and to come back and do what he's doing, throw in the heartbeat that is Draymond Green, whether you think he's dirty or not, doesn't matter. Golden State feeds off his energy. The Warriors, especially now with the Suns being extended, I still think Phoenix gets past Dallas, but it's going a minimum of six, now maybe seven. Every game longer, the Phoenix has to expend energy, most specifically Chris Paul, who is showing his age. Although he was well-rested yesterday with all those fouls, I think the advantage for Golden State builds. View from Vegas still has Phoenix as the favorites, with the Warriors the second-best odds. But the guys in the desert give the advantage in a major way to either the Suns or the Warriors. That's the matchup presumably coming up in the Western Conference Finals. Their opponent remains to be determined. So, if we're sending out search parties, and we were looking for Chris Paul, not only yesterday, last couple games, where in the world did Jason Tatum go on Saturday? Yes, there's a T in there, Mr. Ritt. And it's too easy to slam a very good player, not a premier player, not a transcendent player, but a very good player for disappearing. But considering what Boston lost based on a monumental opportunity, you gotta hammer their best player. It also didn't help that Marcus Smart did virtually nothing, and he got screwed by the officials. I don't want you to think that somehow I'm part of the NBA conspiracy as a member of the media. I just call in and get the talking points from Adam Silver as I was reaching into that pile of envelopes looking for the frozen envelope for Patrick Ewing a million years ago. There is no question that Marcus Smart was in the act of shooting. That should have been a three. Officials missed it. But think about what it took for Boston to be in that position after they couldn't do anything in the third quarter, come all the way back in the fourth quarter. The Bucks had to get incredibly difficult shots from both Giannis and Drew Holiday, of all people. Boston still had a chance. So that's why what Tatum failed to do is so damaging. Doesn't mean the series is over. And my issue with Milwaukee has been dating back to last year, when, remember, we had the funky playoff schedule and Jim's much deserved summer holiday coincided with the conference finals. So I was in this chair when we had Atlanta versus Milwaukee. Trae Young's hurt, and Milwaukee did not play with a sense of urgency. They allowed Atlanta to hang around. And that's some of what we've seen from the Bucks. Yes, I am nitpicking. They are the reigning NBA champs. Giannis went for 50 in the closeout game last year in the NBA Finals. But they lack at times that go-for-the-throat mentality. Maybe that's a byproduct of the congenial nature of Giannis. I'm not taking anything away from him. He's the best player in the world. But some teams are assassins in a sports context. Milwaukee is not. I wasn't surprised after they stole home court by winning Game 1 in Boston. There was a letdown in Game 2, plus Boston couldn't shoot any worse. I have no idea what to expect tonight. I'll give you an opinion in 30 seconds. I just can't sit here and go, should be a good game. Let me read another promo. But based on the fact that Milwaukee escaped with a victory in a game that Boston should have won, they were the better team. I know the scoreboard tells the story, but if you watch the game, game flow, big moments, Boston was the better team given that they need it desperately. Like Boston wins tonight. And just as a fan, I want this thing to go to distance because it has been filled with so many twists and turns, and it's been excellent TV. I'm Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. The phone number is 1-800-636-8686. If Tom says the calls are good, with the phone line straight ahead, even if that does not occur, more reaction, and I'll remind you what I'm looking for. If this was a Brian Weber show that wasn't canceled yet, just knew that the cancellation was on the horizon, and yours truly needed a day off like Jim is enjoying today, what would I be doing? What would be the pressing business in my life? And yes, I know there'll be something about liposuction. That is coming up. I'm Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com right now.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber back with you, having a great time in the jungle. In for Jim Rome, 1-800-636-8686. More of your tweets coming up at BW Weber, Weber with two B's. If you want to go long form, email still an option. Rome at haveatake.com. In 15 minutes, we'll make the move to the NFL. This has to be a historic program. I will have gone through an hour and 40 minutes without a single reference to the National Football League. As a preview, though, you know the schedule will be released on Thursday. I will not be here, thankfully, because Jim will be in the chair. I have a great deal of confidence about that. And then secondly, that is the least favorite show I have ever had to do. We know who the teams are playing already. Now we know the order. Maybe it works on TV because you can show a lot of highlights, but I have never understood beyond the NFL's ability to turn everything into an event and squeeze every dollar out of it, the fascination over the release of the schedule. Unless you are getting on a plane and want to book the tickets now, fine. I'm not saying that you should lack passion. Your passion means I have a career, but it's the biggest non-event to me on the sports calendar, and yet, when we get to later in the week, every show will lose their mind about it. Your phone calls coming up. I will reward your patience. First, a few more tweets. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Dear B Web, if you inexplicably miss work, you be on a hog too. Regards, B Web tackling a pig and roasting it over a fire.
And it's over just that quickly.
Hey, Bella B getting in early. Although it is an ATP show, so this could be foreshadowing a return in the final hour. If you were absent from the Brian Weber show, inevitably you would be at a ribbon cutting ceremony for a big boy grand opening in Burbank. Fair.
Out of here.
Fair. And the hair is looking rather Roberto-esque. Webb, you're absolutely right. The Bucks lack that go for the throat mentality. Yours, OJ.
Ron and Nicole were physically dead.
Wells in the 360. If you think the Warriors have depth, you should see where I am. Bison Dele. And with that, Let's hit the phone lines. 1-800-636-8686. This man holds a golden ticket, so he's going to use the fill-in host as batting practice, getting closer to the smack-off just over 6 weeks from now. Here is Drizzle in Wichita. Hey, Drizzle, you're on with Brian Weber. What's up?
Hey, what's up with you, baby? How you living today?
I'm living the dream.
I know that's right, man. And on the real, doing a great job filling in, so I appreciate you, big boss.
Thanks very much.
Now, shout out to all the mamas. Yesterday was Mama's Day, and especially my baby mama. I got to say, I ain't got nothing but love for this woman. No matter what was going on in my life, the one thing she never did was disrespect me to the children. And for that, baby, I will always have love for you in my heart. Now, speaking of mamas, didn't y'all sniveling little weasels mamas tell you to keep your damn hands to yourself? Didn't we just watch Mike Tyson hand a stupid fan a ham sandwich? And by the way, dude lucky, because if Mike really cut loose on him, he'd be eaten out of a straw. Y'all forget, they're people. Would you treat your own damn family this way for losing a game? A game. The same ones yelling about how they're overpriced crybabies are the same ones acting like snot-nosed brats because CP3 had a bad game. This ain't ECW. And to top it all off, y'all got the nerve to act like the players are the villains? Since y'all want to be so big and bad and what the Paul brothers do was basically clown fights anyways, why don't y'all holler at them and see what you can do about challenging CP3, KD, or anybody else to a fight? Or better yet, walk up to them on the street, shove them, or call them what the fans called Kyrie in Boston. Don't y'all remember what happened when J.R. Smith rocked that dude out of his body for busting up his ride? Y'all behind those rails in these stadiums knowing that you're safe with security, but on the streets, everyone is fair game. This is why we want the purge to be a thing. Y'all want to talk that nonsense? Then you can see me, Buster. Now, what's my name? Out.
Outstanding call. Drizzle. Going to be a factor, name to watch when we get to the smack-off. Tom's already prepping. That's why he has not listened to a word I've said. Coming up June 24th, yes? Thank you. Memorize that on the way down. Tom, I'm waiting for my golden ticket. We'll discuss off the air because I know a lot of people would love me to call in like Damon, Jim Harbaugh. Could be a surprise. Anything could happen, folks. Biggest day of the year in the jungle. I take notes because I was listening closely. Love the purge reference. And I think we're getting closer, not to get political or deep as the fill-in guy on a Monday, but sometimes fiction is reflective of where we are as a society. And the ECW reference, Paul E. Dangerously, Paul Heyman, would love the callback because sadly, most of the podcasts I listen to when I'm not listening to the Daily Jungle, Jim Rome podcast, Garrett Ritt, when he's not mangling the program on the board, books the hell out of that show, and the Reinvention Project, because I'm just so desperate to be invited back in a month. But when I'm not listening to that trifecta, most of my podcasts, sadly, old school wrestling, and we could talk about Tully Blanchard and the rest of the Four Horsemen after the program. Okay, I'm glad it played out this way, because I didn't want to spend a lot of time on baseball, but as I was flipping around yesterday, few things stood out. There was a baseball game on national television on NBC. And since my entire life is mired in 1984, I thought maybe they would dig up Tony Kubek and Joe Garagiola, and I'd feel like it's my youth again. But it was a game of the week. Here was the problem on the West Coast. First pitch, 8:30 a.m. on Mother's Day. So even the worst son in the world or husband knows that you have to do something for your significant other, and you should do something for your mom, if for no other reason. Without mom, you don't exist. But I can only imagine the biggest deadbeats out there going, all right, I didn't do anything. Hang on. There's a baseball game. Honey, don't get up. Not only am I going to burn some bacon, you're going to have breakfast in bed. You get to watch the Red Sox brunch from Boston on the Peacock Network. But what that really was an exercise in upselling, because the rest of the games, you guessed it, will be streaming, and you got to pay for it. Because baseball, and you can have as many issues with the grand old game as I do, and we can share the mindset that the sport is fundamentally different than it was even 10 years ago because the analytics crowd won. And even when you ban the shift next year, it's not going to matter because finally, the universal DH, which should have been implemented in 1973, is part of what's happening on the field. And very little has changed because the DHs out there are striking out as much as the pitchers used to in the National League because everybody strikes out. But baseball's primary issue is a utter lack of leadership. And we know the commissioner is an empty suit because baseball has not had a real commissioner since Francis Faye Vincent got pushed out the door and was replaced by a owner in Bud Selig. So baseball has one motivation, and I am well aware of how capitalism works. It is a business enterprise. The goal is to maximize revenue. How are they doing that? They're selling games to anybody with a checkbook that happens to be a streaming platform. So flip around on a Friday night, might know of a game, can't find it. If you find it, you got to pay for it, pass. Coming up on Sunday mornings, same scenario, pass. But what it really points out is that baseball, which we used to romanticize as some sort of civic trust, especially in Cincinnati, opening day every year, a day game in Cincinnati. Well, that tradition was thrown away years ago because baseball was able to make more money off an opening night or an opening day in Japan because all they care about is the almighty dollar. The latest example of that is occurring in Cincinnati. And I don't care what ownership says about thank you very much or not tanking. The product speaks for itself. I knew the Reds were bad. And I don't follow baseball the way I used to because I don't have to, thankfully, professionally. But when they arrived in their weekend series with the Buccos, Cincinnati was 3-22. We're talking 1962 bad. And what's the motivation there? And don't tell me it's trust the process. Tear it down to build it up. It's working in Philadelphia in a different sport to a degree. Motivation there is to slash payroll and make more money. Because the owners, while they went to the mattresses a la Godfather and locked the players out in the latest labor war, had all of their talking points that they wanted to realize to maximize revenue. They have never been able to agree to a salary floor, meaning you got to spend at least a minimum threshold to have a realistic chance of winning. I'm aware weird things happen over the course of 162. You can be a good team and have a lousy season. That's baseball. But what the Reds are doing is a crime in a sports context. And not only are they defiling a once proud organization, they're doing it smugly. Remember the line from the Castellini family and the son who was born on third base, nepotism running wild, named the CEO, getting ready for the start of the year with that wonderful quote, where else are you going to go? You said the quiet part out loud. Because we know you have the antitrust exemption, because you're a monopoly, I get it. But don't be so drunk with power and so inane to alienate your fan base even more. Look at what's going on in Oakland, if you can bear to watch. The A's attendance is down 100% from last year. They can't give tickets away in that pit of a stadium, and I don't blame any of the fans for staying away because they know the team has 1¾ feet out the door going to Vegas. And every offseason, trading away their best players. Why? Because they don't want to spend the money and there are no consequences because even if the A's lose, and I realize they've been competitive, but let's just talk about the Reds who are going to be abysmal. Yeah, they're going to take a hit at the box office, but the real money is virtually guaranteed. Local media rights, national TV rights, and revenue sharing. So even if you spend a lot less and you have a horrible team on the field, sometimes losing is winning because it increases your profitability and enhances the bottom line. So I'll skip my normal rants about baseball needing wholesale changes on the field. And I'm all for electronic balls and strikes. I'm for tinkering with the mound if we have to. I'm for the pitch clock. I'm open to knocking it down to a seven-inning game. And I know you'll tell me it's softball at that point. Softball at times is more entertaining. But all of that is secondary if the economic system that is fundamentally broken isn't fixed. And this has nothing to do with the players. This is the owners who continue to say, well, the players won't negotiate in good faith. And we need the cost certainty of a salary cap because they want to keep the rise of salaries down. What the sport needs most is a salary floor. So the debacle that's going on in Cincinnati could not occur in the future. And oh, by the way, the Reds won 2 out of 3 and are now 5-23. Yes, I'm good with math like that. Because the Pirates are just as terrible.
Let's go, Bucks!
Coming up, we make the move to the National Football League. Will this be the week that Baker Mayfield finally gets traded or maybe just cut outright by the Browns? We'll tackle that straight ahead with a little bit more interaction along the way. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. Now it's time for a sports update. Rich Ackerman has the latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Powering our way towards the final hour of the program. Still plenty of time, though, for you to get involved. More phone calls could be in the mix in hour number 3, less than 20 minutes away from now. 1-800-636-8686. More of your tweets presently. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Back to the NBA to start the last hour of the show. In addition to that, we'll get into the latest reminder of the joys of gambling, even without James Kelly. No big head bets on a Monday. The incredible scene at the Kentucky Derby, and down goes Canelo. Plus, we got one more guest to wrap up the show. We had a good conversation analyzing the NBA postseason. The first hour with Eric Pincus from Bleacher Report. 1 hour from now, we wrap it up with gusto when we say hello to Kurt Heelan, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. More reaction. Derek in Pittsburgh. Where's Jim? I have an answer. Signed, Scribbins.
Scribbins has an answer.
Here's the question, and that's a younger, better version of me. I don't recall. I could probably find my notes. Is that guy's name Scribbins or Scrivens? I was not enunciating enough back then. I think it's Scribbins as an answer. Okay. Moving on. Not important. John in NY. Brian, if Eric in Orlando calls, put him right to the front of the line. I'm sure he knows where Jim is.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
Just letting that marinate for a second. Carlin Prescott, Rip flying the plane sounds like a great idea. Signed, Harrison Ford.
Get off my plane.
Carl's on a roll with a aviation theme. Flying into the Himalayas sounds like a great challenge. Regards, John Denver.
Rocky Mountain High.
Finally, doubling up for Geoff and Lincoln. Dear Webb, I'm here with my family. Regards, Chris Paul going after that kid.
Family.
Okay. No Billy Joel available? They want to drive through someone's home? That was so long, it felt like I was trying to meander through an email. We're going to make that our huge email. Listen up, clones. Not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags so you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Let's talk NFL. Not because I'm trying to jam it in there, just because there's an FCC bylaw that you have to mention professional football, but because I do think this is going to be an intriguing week in Cleveland, motivated by the fact that the draft is behind us, and what do you know? If you don't have big-name quarterbacks, people don't watch. You're telling me that Roger Goodell being booed and reading names has gotten a little tedious? Also, did you notice attendance did not hit the number projected in Las Vegas? In part because it's Vegas. It was damn hot. I also think that when you go to a destination city, there are other things to do. When you go to Kansas City, it'll dominate. I covered the draft in person in Chicago and Philadelphia. Wonderful experiences still. Once you get past the draft, we're in a little bit of a fallow period, other than events that we used to ignore when we had either more of an appreciation of baseball in May and early June, or more to the point, before football took over and dominated our attention every week of the year. So you have rookies showing up in Cleveland at the end of the week. Why is that important? Press conferences from head coach Kevin Stefanski, the front office. And what do you think they're going to be asked about? Baker Mayfield. Now, we know that Stefanski has been transparent. He's gone on the radio in Cleveland. He's answered questions about Baker, saying all of the normal coach speak, not saying anything. If you have to listen that closely, and yes, another Ivy League reference, because Stefanski went to Penn, a fine school. He is a bright guy. He knows how to say nothing. While it sounds like it's maybe a kernel of significance, but if you put him at a podium and you have the opportunity for follow-ups and real questions, maybe we'll get some clarity. But we know what's going on right now. Nothing. And it doesn't seem like Baker can be on this team when we get to the start of the regular season, unless when we get to the start of the regular season, Deshaun Watson's been suspended 6, 8, who knows how many games, unless the investigation continues. The situation in Cleveland is so muddled, it is the Browns on steroids, effectively. They find new ways, even though I applaud the economics of the Watson move for a couple elements that come to mind. They had to overpay because he said pass initially. Remember, as we were going through the handicapping of where Watson was going to land, there was that round that Cleveland didn't make the cut, and then they came back with the most guaranteed money in the history of the National Football League, and magically everything changed. So good for Watson. Because in this economic sense, he is a trailblazer. Because every marquee player in the NFL should have the same level and structure of compensation that NBA stars and baseball stars have, namely fully guaranteed contracts. It shouldn't just be Kirk Cousins manipulating his way through franchise tags and getting Minnesota to waste, effectively, all that money, because what has it gotten them? Not much. Watson changing the landscape for everybody now, and we'll see if other teams are forced into following what the Browns did. But with that move and the predictable response from Baker saying, I want out, that was March. This is May. Nothing has changed. Remember, Cleveland also signed Jacoby Brissett. So they have a capable backup who has a similar style to Watson, but let's just take the Watson uncertainty off the table momentarily. It is clear Cleveland and Baker need a divorce, but any divorce involves a degree of negotiation, and right now Cleveland is making Baker Mayfield stew a bit. And this feels personal because I think they are worn out by Baker. Everything that made Mayfield into the pro that he was before he got hurt, and I have been very critical of Baker in my opportunities to fill in here and NFL shows I have hosted. He never should have been the number one overall pick. We know about the limitations. It was not an outlier that he was slow at the combine because he's not fast. Unless he's trying to outrun the cops on campus in Oklahoma, then he's got a quick first step. We know he doesn't have the biggest arm. We know now he is injury prone. Still, go back a couple years ago, he put up fabulous numbers. But one of the reasons he's been able to overachieve based on a limited skill set physically is his self-belief, if you're on Team Baker. If you're a detractor, you say it's arrogance, it's cockiness, it is a lack of self-awareness, and it feels like the Browns, especially, with a reminder, a head coach who has nothing invested in him. It's not Freddie Kitchens that he can boss around after Baker was able to handpick the coach he wanted in Cleveland. And it's a new front office regime that has nothing invested in him. They have a degree of objectivity that allows them to say, we just don't want to be in business with this guy anymore. That's fine. But we want to make him go through a little bit of a challenge on his way out the door. So according to reports, Cleveland right now is not willing to kick in any money for a Mayfield trade. This is the same organization that effectively bought draft picks when they made the deal for Brock Osweiler, right? Jimmy Haslam just gave Deshaun Watson the most guaranteed money in the history of the National Football League, but we're not going to eat $3-5 million to get Baker off the books. Why? We want him to stew a little bit. Ultimately, I would be stunned if he's on the roster, but where is he going? Go through the list of what we thought were logical landing spots. Well, Pittsburgh doesn't work anymore. They got Kenny Pickett. Carolina doesn't work anymore. They got Matt Corral to compete with Sam Darnold. Seattle, maybe, but it appears that Pete Carroll is comfortable with Geno Smith and Drew Lock. And Drew Lock's got enough problems early on. Geno is a non-factor, but he has at least earned the right, apparently within the Seattle point of view, to compete for the job. Do you want Baker Mayfield in the same quarterback room as Drew Lock? I don't think so. So there's a real possibility. Baker has started his last game in the NFL. I'm not saying he's not going to land someplace, and injuries are always a possibility. But just as you go through your mind's eye, where is he going, and where does he have a chance to start? I don't see an obvious landing spot at all, and we have plenty of time to sort things out moving forward. Final hour on the way. Much more NBA to get to. Is Chris Paul going to show up the next time we see the Suns and the Mavs? That's on the way. I'm Brian Weber.